why do I run to these contexts for the affirmation and for the resonance? Why am I looking for the validation? That became like, yeah, the last 5 years of like unpacking. Wow. There's been so much destroyed, and yet there's so much to recover.
Friends, it's Morgan Snyder, and welcome back to the Become Good Soil podcast, where I'm with my friend, Jared Anderson. We're halfway through unpacking the story of Jared's masculine initiation. If you haven't listened to episode one, you'll want to do that before you join us here. Jared, welcome back into the studio. At the close of episode one, we were just on this venture, your family in Nashville, for what ended up being a 12-month eject out of your story, of your social location, out of your geography, and then God used that to lead you back. And so let's pick up with your story here into the same geography of your youth and of your early career. You step into this new life in the same context. Now, these categories of older guides, yeah, of your calling, of friendships. I mean, the whole deck has been thrown, yeah, right? It's not just been reshuffled. You've thrown the cards. Like, as you look back now in your 30s, how did that play out for you?
Man, it played out with new risks. I mean, we met the Evans in that season. I started traveling doing nights of worship. I built up, had a band and a van and a trailer. It was like, I think a part of it felt maybe my grandfather's, the mission adventure, yeah, stuff starts to merge into the church categories, mm-hmm, and I feel like I'm resonating with different people in pockets around the country that's ringing true, mm-hmm, for me, and trying to serve that. This time, right before we moved to Nashville, we sold our house, we moved into a rental house that's just big enough that the piano is on the opposite side of the kids' bedrooms. So when the kids are sleeping, I can attempt to make a little bit of noise.
Wow.
In that context, over a couple nights, I write this song called Great I Am.
Yes.
But I'm not leading on a weekend anywhere. That's like my service. I'm just helping out at the big church. I'm still on staff, but I'm not like, I'm just serving. I'm not really dictating, or like, it's not my thing.
Yes.
I'm not in charge of that. So move to Nashville, come back, build the house. But I still have a relationship. Still very much like a part of the stage.
Yep.
No one in that time, very few people knew that I ever moved.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Cause I was back for conference. I was back for a couple big events.
So the machinery is just cranking. And no one asks. Like, it's fascinating.
Yeah,
they just don't know.
Dude.
You were gone. You lived somewhere else for a year.
Yeah. Didn't know.
But you showed up. You had your role.
Yeah.
You made the system work.
Right.
Wow.
So I come back, move into the house. We're building. Then they want to do another project, looking for songs. Pitched all these songs I'd written in Nashville that I was super excited about, and none of them are landing. No feedback, just like crickets. And I'm like, huh. Go to the director. I'm like, man, I'd love to contribute, but what's your gut? Like, what's roaring in your soul around this project? He starts talking, and I'm like, I think I have a song that sounds like what you're talking about. So I go over to the keyboard and I play him this song. And he's like, man, I don't know how people are going to respond to the whole demons run and flee thing. But he's like, you're leading in a couple weeks. Try it out. Okay. That was it. It just went insane.
Mm. Jared, I'm so moved by the story, specifically the movement of God in your life, orchestrating your masculine initiation. Francis Schaeffer said, we must take the lowest seat at the table until God makes impossible to do otherwise. What I see in your story is you being uninterested in fancy or sexy seats at the table, the sort of culture the megachurch was offering you. It was from a place of you saying no, that God would lead you by his Spirit to write something as beautiful, as moving as the great I am. Out of the lower seat, the song is a song of declaration. It's a song of defiance. It's a song that I've used at many retreats as a close to usher healed hearts, awakening hearts, growing hearts of men deeper into the heart of God. And so I invite you to open your heart, giving him further permission, further access. And even in your places of fear, of seeming lack, of seeming uncertainty, my invitation is, would you risk opening more of you to more of God? Father, would you fill and flood these words in this song? Would you let it access us as we access you?
I want to be close. Close to your side, so heaven is real and death is a lie. I wanna hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah, holy, holy God.
Jared, it is such a powerful song, like more than a song. It's a conduit. It's an access point to the life of God. It's sort of like a light switch. And then there was light. It's so good. It takes me back to the things that are most true about God and his kingdom. Jared, I think this is the right place to sort of make a transition because you are in a different season of your soul as a man. You've changed and you're changing. You're engaging in the process and it's complex. You said no to particular expressions of local church, small c, that felt like a counterfeit. But now in some ways you've said yes to the music industry. Can you tell us more about that?
It kind of launched, you know, more of the travel and the invitations and whatnot. Except for now, things are much more on my terms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's me individually rather than just the group.
Yeah.
Like, but the group is what first launched the song, and people associate me with the group all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there was it more of an individuation there. And now I'm 30 and I'm not 20.
Mm-hmm.
So what's fascinating, though, is that song has such a, there was so much energy that it released somehow. And fast forward to this, it was 2017, as I get dropped from my label. And now I'm beginning to, and the hard thing was, it hurt more for me than it did for them.
Mm-hmm. This is the Desperation Band?
No, me as an individual artist.
So you're saying Jared Anderson and his band
yep.
got dropped from the label?
Yep. 2017. So we build this house and move in 2010. Great I Am comes out in 2011. And in the midst, so I'm traveling in the midst of that, we go through our adoption. That's a whole process that I'm even inviting on these nights of worship. I'm telling stories, I'm showing pictures. Of, we took their picture and made a puzzle out of it and invited people to be a part. So we have their puzzle and the names of everyone that helped us bring them home on the back of this puzzle hanging in our house, right? Like, so we're like on a path and it is more, I would almost call the season like the artist on a national platform in the industry.
Yep.
But as an artist and not in the context of the church.
Yes.
But in 2017, I get dropped from the label and I'm like, why does this feel so hard for me? And now I've got data that I was in my family and looked to the church. Then I went to the church and I looked to the industry. And then I went to the industry and it let me, and it dropped me off. Now I've got a pattern that I've got to excavate.
Wow.
And that has been the deeper journey. Why do I run to these contexts for the affirmation and for the resonance? Why am I looking for the validation? Why wasn't Neptune's Taming of the Seahorse enough validation for my whole life? Like, where did I get off, right? That became like, the last 5 years of like unpacking, wow, there's been so much destroyed and yet there's so much to recover. Yeah.
Think about those last 5 years. I think this small tribe of kiddos that are now becoming young adults in those years, and then these real personal passions of yours to still write music,
yeah,
to lead worship in a local church,
yeah,
to be an advocate and an ambassador of Friends of Club 21, which just is this beautiful nonprofit that helps families with special kids with Down syndrome.
Yes.
Like, I observed the last 5 years, there's a lot you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing a lot of that comes out of that work in your soul.
Yeah.
So as you think about your journey then as a man in these stages, what's shifted in these most recent years in your initiation where you kind of, I like to use the words, it's nothing to hide, nothing to fear, nothing to prove. There's some knowing, this is who I am. This is who God is. This is the story in which I'm hooking my wagon to,
yeah,
right? And this is where I'm choosing to live, taking risks and doing the work and asking the tough questions of excavation. Like, how can you articulate what's shifted and or what's been happening in you,
mm-hmm,
that's being expressed now in those contexts, yeah, that on the outside, some of them may look the same as when you were in your young 20s, right?
Sure. Yeah. I think I'm definitely developing like a way
mm-hmm,
that stays. It's a way of friendship, a way of fathering, a way of walking. And it's this sense of mutuality. It goes, I mean, back to the unity piece in marriage, like how much unity brings is just so generative. That's why, like, you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
You just know how to get there.
Yes.
That really describes, like, I don't know,
mm-hmm,
what I'm doing, but I know I'm getting there.
Yeah. The model you were given was kind of fake it till you make it, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, we're just all doing, we're all riding waves. Like, the surf is great. Grab a board, get out there,
mm-hmm,
figure out how to surf. Like, mm-hmm, everyone out here, no one really knows how to surf, but the waves are amazing,
yeah,
and not everyone gets these waves, so let's ride.
Yes.
It was kind of the masculine culture.
Right.
And now I hear in you, it's not just binary, this or this. There's a, mm-hmm, third way. It's rooted in union and union with God, union with healthy relationship, and you don't need all the answers, but there is a confidence that, like, there's a path being opened before you,
yeah,
and as you've shared, even just in some of your interviews on the whole landscape, with a lot of things have to die.
Man.
A lot, yeah, of things have to die.
Yeah.
But now in your 40s, you have a lot of life.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fruit, mm-hmm, from those choices, most of which other people will not understand.
Yeah. I think I also want to say to that, like the cheers to not making sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's something in that that I feel is like a real present invitation for, I'm having this discussion with a lot of guys,
yeah,
in this season.
Yep.
Of like, I really have this in my heart, A, but I don't want to be that guy that, yeah, I think A takes me to. And we're overthinking,
mm,
we're caught in our own heads,
yeah,
we're afraid. That's, mm, so rooted in fear.
Mm.
Like, I mean, Jesus was talking about generosity, but I feel like it resonates that to not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing,
mm,
you know? Like, it doesn't need to make, when did it need to make sense?
Mm.
When did that become a thing? Is that like the age of reason? Is that what put the pressure on? Like, since when do we have to like project where this realized desire is going to take us?
Mm. Well, it's fascinating as you say that we came out of the age of reason, right? Where it was very surface external measurements. Mm-hmm. And now we're in this social media culture of constantly in your face. Yeah. Of what success looks like,
right.
And what other people are achieving. And so you're constantly bombarded with opportunities of false comparison, and then just an instant culture, right? Mm-hmm. And then I guess the fourth thing I'd add to it is that water we're swimming in, part of that spirit of the age of up and to the right, more and more, faster and faster, mm-hmm. of just change in the rate of change. So when you take that soup,
yeah.
and you throw a heart of a man,
yeah.
that is generative, like you said, with Tim and Ann Evans, as we were mentored, like it's in the garden, it's generative work. We're meant to build.
Yeah.
We're designed to rule and reign and accomplish things in partnership with God.
Mm-hmm.
But when that's untethered from knowing who we are and responding to the heart of God, that performance is everything.
Right.
And you need to know where it's headed, or else you can't take the risk.
And you can't defend it.
Wow.
Because you've got to defend it. Every move you make, you have to defend. Ugh. Mm. Ugh.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So now, how old are you?
42.
Okay, so now at 42, there's a whole generation behind you, mm-hmm. of young men.
Yeah.
Hearts for God. Gifted.
Yeah.
And this is the world they're in.
Sure.
This is the water they're swimming in. Like, what do you say to young Jared?
Yeah.
And even in, I think it's important, Jared, I think God has given you visibility in what we'll call churchianity. Like, you didn't get to choose that story.
Mm-hmm.
You were born into the story of megachurch. And there are a lot of men out there that are wrestling with kind of working out who they are and how they walk with God in the context of whatever kind of religion is presenting to them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have ejected, but there's
yeah.
a lot of people that's their context. So, like, what do you say to a young Jared from your miles mm-hmm. on the odometer?
Yeah. Same thing I say to the life of the artist. Is filters on what goes in and no filters on what comes out. Watch, pay attention, be picky on who gets access to your heart. Mm. It's the wellspring. Guard the gates, right? Choose wisely and make it like eat richly and have no filter. Unbridled results on where this takes you. Like, this is your one wild and precious life, right?
Mm.
The beautiful thing about the church is the complexity of its relationships, because we connect on so many different levels, both on the eternal, the practical, the familial. It is so much more interesting than sports. It just is.
I just hear the multi-dimensional pieces of it. It's very interesting.
Right. It's just more complex than that.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it really powerful, really beautiful, and when it's hurtful, really damaging. Mm. Church pain, some of the worst pain. Often to young people, and especially those into vocational ministry, where it becomes your context for friendship, it becomes your context for employment, becomes your context for discipleship,
mm-hmm.
and tying all of those together is a recipe for agony. It's disaster.
Mm.
Don't do that. Like, don't do that.
So good to hear, because it's permission to disentangle those layers, because
right.
they go, it's like, you know, one of my buddies says concrete's, you know, it's wet going in and it's dry coming out.
Yeah.
And it is a lot harder to change those And he was talking about partnership and business, and it's similar to those layers in a church. It seems like, oh, those would be good things together.
Yeah.
But then when they go sideways, they're so enmeshed.
Yeah.
And there's really, back to who do you let in, it is very difficult to guard your heart when all those layers are enmeshed in one system.
Right. Yeah. It that, I mean, diversifying your portfolio, I don't know. Like that's, you just can't be, and that's the opposite of the consistent message of all in.
What do you mean?
Because the messaging of church community is all in. We're all in. Like we're looking for people who are all in.
So you're saying that gets misinterpreted as bring your whole heart and all your needs on this multidimensional level to these few people.
Right.
Yeah.
To this system.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, going to break you.
So now, practically speaking, what's that look like for you guys in the season? Because you have the Ascent and then you have writers' workshops. You're still producing music.
Yeah.
And then that house is full with six amazing kids, two of which you've adopted from Haiti, that beautiful story. Like, what does the architecture of life look like in a way that promotes well-being in your soul and the souls of those entrusted to your care in the in the tightest circles?
Right.
What are some practical ways you've moved in that direction?
So much check-in with my wife and I. We kind of started calling it the blue chairs, like these two chairs in our room that is like when we are off, when we're out of sync, we resort to try and get back on the same page. And it's not just like going over the schedule. It's like, I just feel like we're disconnected or, I think I'm speaking, but I'm not sure you're paying attention to me. Like all that's where the battle, that's where the war is fought and won in a sense of like for our household and for our union and for the fanning of the flame of each other.
Yeah.
Like that's not, it's not us. This is you.
Yeah.
And I'm here if you need me. Mm-hmm. That's definitely you. And I celebrate it. You know, that's like, that's a hard place to get to as well. Like you start engaging so strongly in your marriage that it's all us.
Yes.
Right. And there's brilliance in that, but then that can limit the power of the individual. Yeah. Like, no, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not me or us. Let's, you need to do that.
And you have to move through your own healing journey and integration so that you feel like you can advocate for her, right? Without being the victim.
Right.
And feeling like, when's my turn?
Yeah.
And so we can do that in a false nobility as a young man and kind of wear the Superman cape and then just resent her or feel like the victim. So, I mean, you're talking about the next level beyond union, which we've done a lot of work with as couples.
That's tricky too. And it's space that doesn't feel like a lot of people are talking about. It doesn't feel, that never comes up in conversation.
No, no.
Like, no one talks about that, but it's like very, very present.
Yeah, it's so
and
good.
And so practical. Like, I think that allows for you to take adventures, to try things together, to be both supported and released. That's the trick. And to be supported and released. That's what vocal training is. Supporting with the breath and releasing in the mechanism of your voice. Like it's a way to live and it's a balance and it's an engagement, a way of engaging that is so powerful and so natural. It's what you were made for. Like it's the music you were made for, and that's how the music gets made, is it's supported and it's released.
It's so good. I love it. Jared, it's loving and brave of you to share your story with other like-hearted Kingdom apprentices. Thank you for your friendship, and thanks for risking this time together.
As we find ourselves in this final pause of this episode,
I want to invite you to a few things. First off, Jared Anderson, as you know, has been entrusted with much and many and has stewarded a beautiful mission and message. So I encourage you to pick up his music every place where you can find it, Spotify and many other places, to check out Friends of Club 21, the beautiful ministry that they've helped incubate and bring so much life to families and amazing humans with Down syndrome. For this reflection, I want to go back to this haunting image that comes to me from what Jared has shared and his journey working intimately with local expressions of the church. There's an incident where Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple, and Simeon, the priest, picks up the child and he blesses them. And he says to Mary, the mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." Friends, the life of Jesus ushers in the falling and the rising of many. And I would suggest that when we consent to him, the life of Jesus ushers in the falling and rising of the soul of a man in the proper season, in his journey into integration, initiation, and wholeheartedness. And so with that idea, as we close this episode, I want to invite you to 90 seconds to pause and say, where is the Spirit of the living God working to bring something down? And where is he coming to build something up? Linger with God. Enjoy this time of transition, of pause, of unhurried, of slowing down.